Thumbs up. Good morning, St. Paul's. Great to see you here all this morning. What a great bunch of spring days. Amen. All right. So I want to say that today's altar flowers are to the glory of God and in honor of Miriam Schellenberger's, can I say it, Miriam? I have permission. 90th birthday on March 20th, presented with love from her family. We were having a long, funny discussion about men asking women their age and how dangerous that can be. So you can see around you that we are involving the kids in our service this morning. So Andrea has been putting that together, so I want to thank Andrea for doing that. And so let's see. They will be acolytes, greeters. They all greeted you, right? I couldn't get by Remy. I kept walking by her, and every time I walked past Remy, she still said, good morning. She is serious about her job. And ushers. Now, they are learning, and they're kids. And ushering can be a little confusing. Amen? Okay, so if they walk past your pew, there are offering plates in the back by Bob. Bob, raise your hand. Right? All right. And let me tell you also who all the kids are who have been helping this morning. We have Ryan and Remy McDaniel, and I think they are our ushers. No. Acolyte, and one of them's over there too. I can't differentiate them when all I see is the top of their heads. Luke and Emmeline, did I say that right? Emmeline? Jamison? And Waylon Young, is that Waylon over there? That's Waylon. Okay. And the age range is 3 years to second grade. So again, grace, please. And seriously, in my years of being a pastor, I've heard stories of people not having grace with kids as they're trying to participate in the service. And I can tell you that every time there's no grace, the kid eventually leaves the church. Yeah. So, let me read this. And this is from Andrea, and she was on her heart. So let me read this to you, too, about all this. It says, St. Paul's Church has gone through a lot of changes in the past few years. Amen. And we are obviously continuing to contemplate our future direction. And she says, here's an important part of our future participating in our service this morning. In 1885, it only took 5 families to begin St. Paul's Church in someone's home. Imagine what we could accomplish today if we had the same sense of discipleship that our founders had so long ago. And I was joking, but half serious, more than half serious, about one of the nice things is to see the exuberance that the kids have in doing these things because they're being included. They love it. And sometimes that's something we lose over the years. Amen? And it's good to see that and to remind us that this is the great and the best attitude we should have. All right. I think that's about it. We have one last Community Lenten service tonight. And that will be at High Mount Community Church. And there's information about Holy Week, which is in 2 weeks. And next Sunday is a special Sunday. It is Palm Passion Sunday. Just to let you know, and then the Holy Week. And I believe with that, we'll go to our prelude. Thank you. Let us begin our service this morning. I ask you to please stand as you're able and join in the greeting. The Lord be with you. Are we ready? I didn't hear you. Create in us clean hearts, O God. Give to us wisdom in our secret heart. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, number 159, Lift High the Cross. At that point, the kids will come in as the acolytes, and the ushers will come around to collect any prayer requests or joys that you'd like to share. Be seated. We come now to the time of the sharing of our prayer concerns and joys, and I have not received any this week, so I'll take that as a good sign. But let us continue to keep so many things in our prayers, the direction of the world, the direction of our country, the direction of our church. I think it's joyful to look around at all the children here this morning. That's wonderful. Amen. Amen. And I think that's it. So let us take all of this to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly and loving Father, you have shown your faithfulness to all generations by preserving the works of your mercy. You delivered your people from bondage and made with them a promise to be their God. And now you make a new covenant with us, one written on our hearts. So we come today to lift up our joys and hurts, requests and thanks for all that you do for us. Now you have called us to pass on the great good news of what you have done with us and for us. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill us with a passion for you and your good news, so that we can take this news out of here and into the world. Lord, we ask that you grant us the courage, the opportunities, and the words to speak, so that we can spread this gospel to all in Red Lion and to the entire world. Make us into bringers of your hope. Now we've named before you our friends and family members who needed your healing presence, but there are so many others who suffer that also need the touch of your healing hand. And so we ask that you bring them the healing they need, comfort those who mourn, and bring your peace of eternal life to those who are dying. We ask that you bring them and all of us back into a whole and right relationship with you. And Lord, we lift up our great country to you, and we continue to pray for all of our leaders. We pray most deeply and fervently, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work on their hearts to transform them into your servants so that they will live and lead in your ways and in your will. And now we'll take a moment here to silently lift up to you the rest of our prayers that remain on our hearts. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who through the Lord's Prayer taught us when to pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we come now to the time of our children's message. And Andrea, I think you got your hands full this time.
Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to see everybody here, and I love that we have you active in the service this morning. I think that's great. And so the children's message over the next few weeks has a special theme, and that theme is the heroes of Holy Week. And when you think of a hero, you probably think of a superhero, right? Do you think about Spider-Man? Think about Superman, those kinds of superheroes. Well, the persons that we're going to be talking about here are not superheroes like that. They don't wear costumes and they don't wear capes and things. They just are everyday people living their life during the time when Jesus was going through something very difficult. And today, we're going to be learning about Simon of Cyrene. And we're going to learn about how he came across Jesus. He saw Jesus carrying something very, very heavy on his back. And I don't know if you guys know the whole story about Easter, but they made Jesus do some things that were very, very difficult. They were very mean to Jesus. And one of the things that they did was they had him walk down the roads of the city. And they made him carry a very, very big cross, a big wooden cross that was bigger than Jesus. And so Jesus was carrying this cross down the streets, and Simon of Cyrene came across him, and Jesus said, if you take up my cross, you can be a part of what I'm doing. You can help me. And so Simon went over and he helped Jesus. He took that cross and carried it down the road for Jesus because he could tell that Jesus was very tired. He had been hurt by the people who wanted to put him on a cross and die and come back. He had to go through those things. But there were people, ordinary people, that went and they helped Jesus because of the goodness of their heart, and they also understood how important Jesus was. So Simon of Cyrene was one of the first people to help Jesus during Holy Week. And Holy Week occurs from next Sunday, Palm Sunday, until Easter Sunday when the resurrection happens. So this man saw Jesus struggling, carrying this big, heavy cross. Now, Ryan and Nick, you guys did the acolyting this morning, and you carried the lighters. And remember, you said how difficult it was because... Oh, I did it. I'm sorry. I have to apologize. I'm talking to Waylon, but I call him by his dad's name, Nick. So I apologize, Waylon. You carried in the lighter, and you said, this is big and hard to carry. Now imagine if you had a cross that was bigger than you, and you had to carry it over your shoulder and carry it down the roads, and it was really, really big and really, really heavy. That would be difficult, wouldn't it? And if someone were to stop and help you, that would be a nice thing for them to do. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Simon of Cyrene and what he did, but I want you to know that he did something very kind, and he helped Jesus when Jesus needed help. And when Simon of Cyrene needs help, I know who will be there for him. Jesus will be there, just like Jesus will be there for you when you need him. So let's say a prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for these young children to be here this day. And not just to be here to listen to the story, but to be here and do things in your name to help the church, to help the people of the church, to be a part of the service and see that they are kind-hearted children who want to help and be there for other people when they need them. And they know in their heart that when they need you, you will be there for them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Andrea. And we come now to the time of our service to share in our tithes and our offerings. And all right. The adults are getting the kids ready. And while they are, just again, a reminder, why do we give? That's a good question, right? Now, sometimes we've grown up in a place in a church that tells us we give because that's what we're supposed to do, and there's some truth to that. You know, we give because the church needs money for the repairs and the maintenance and to pay the bills, and that's partially true too. But we give mostly, and we should lean on and feel that we give because of what God has done for us, that this is a spiritual discipline. That we do, that we give and we trust God to take our money and do wonderful, great things with it. But we give out of thankfulness and a recognition that it's not without the blessings, opportunities, the gifts and talents that God gave us that we were able to make that money to begin with. And the kids are ready. Ushers, are the kids ready? There's a lot of confidence back there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've given us and done for us. We thank you for bringing us all here this morning together, and we ask for your blessings on these gifts. Please multiply them so they may go out to all the corners of the earth, including all corners of Red Lion, so that all may come to know you and be saved through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, even though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Our epistle reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Please stand as you're able and sing the Gloria Patri, number 70, in your hymnals. Standing for our gospel reading, which comes from the Gospel of John. We're in the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 33. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival being Passover, because we're moving right into Palm Passion Sunday in the week. And so they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, kind of a more Greek settlement, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." So Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, and Jesus doing one of those things he does so often that can frustrate us a little bit, he doesn't answer the direct question. He tells us something else that we need to know more. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. See, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be.
My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my soul is troubled. I'm going to pause here. I love how the humanness comes out in Jesus, especially toward this end. He's not like, yep, I got this whole, you know, being scourged and nailed to a cross. Yeah, not a problem. He has his issues and worries about this, even though he knows how it will end. He says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of our Lord, to which we say, thanks be to God and amen. I ask you to remain standing for our little praise hymn, Pass It On. This comic is more of a dad joke, wouldn't you say? Back to that old joke, which came first, the chicken or the egg, and here we have Adam, and he missed it. Okay. It's okay if you groan at some of these, it's okay. I want to ask you a question. We are a week away from Palm Passion Sunday, 2 weeks away from Easter. This is the high holy days of the Christian calendar. It's the day we remember what we're here for, what Christ did for us, and why we are following him. So I have a question for you, and it's really more rhetorical. I don't need to hear shouting out loud for it, but it's a serious question. Why are you here this morning? Now, let's focus on what I'm really trying to say here. I'm not asking why are you in that seat as opposed to that seat. Why are you in this church versus another church? I'm not asking you that at all. Why are you at church this morning? What brings you here? Now, don't hear from me, well, you better have a good reason or else. No. I'm all for people coming for good reasons and bad reasons. Just come to church, amen? You know, I hear as pastors, and maybe you have too, when people know that you're a Christian, they'll say things like, aren't the churches full of hypocrites? I don't know if I've shared these with you, but I have a whole selection of answers for that. I'll share them with you. You can decide the context. One of the answers is, yes, room for one more. Because seriously, have you ever met somebody who 100% did what they espoused, what they said they believed in? We don't. We're human. It doesn't happen, right? Room for one more. Or if you're feeling a little more kindly, because that can be a little sharp, right? You could say, well, where else should hypocrites be but in church on Sunday? No? So why are we here? What moves us? Now, I know for some of us of a certain age, of a younger age, it might be because my parents made me. Okay. Now, remarkably, I don't have a problem with that. I hear people talk about that. Well, you know, I don't want to force my kids to do anything. Do you force them to go to bed on time? Well, yes. Do you force them to get their homework done? Yes. Do we or do we not force our kids to do the things that we think are right and important in this world? And so the most important thing in this world, which is what are we going to do about the next world, why then all of a sudden we're like, well, I don't want to force them? It's a good question, isn't it? All right, so setting that aside, why are we here? And I want to go back. I heard a lady in her 60s, and just take a moment for me to share with you that when I heard this, I thought 60s was old. It's not so much old anymore. Say, I come because my parents told me to come. And I kind of felt sad for her because I'm thinking and hoping that somewhere along the line, we will transfer from going to church because someone told me to I'm going to church because I want to go to church. We would hope that would happen, amen? Why are you at church? And again, I don't care if it's for good reasons or bad reasons, but even the bad reasons usually come around something like, I thought I should be here today. Well, good. Why are we here? We're here, hopefully, because God, through the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus Christ, has done something in our lives powerful and transformational. And we know it, and we felt it. And we want to know more about God. Maybe even we want to come here and we want to worship God because we want to thank Him for this. So let's spend just a little bit to talk about what is this? What has God done for us? Which is a good way to set up and remind us where we're going with the cross. The basic gospel message. And I keep coming back to the basic gospel message because I read a lot of things, and I'm not quite sure the basic gospel message is actually being preached in a whole lot of churches out there in America. Okay, it starts with we're sinners. We, by the way, notice I didn't say you. We're sinners. We break what God wants us to do. And because of our sin, we have broken our connection to God. We can say this in many different ways. You know, we broke our image of God that was within us. However you want to say it and think about it. You see, the holy cannot stand to be with the unholy. Basic rule of life. So because we have sinned in big things and small things, I also love the part in our communion liturgy when we're confessing our sins and we say, forgive me for the things I've done and for the things I haven't done, which seems like a weird thing, right? How can me not doing something be a sin? I think the older we get, we know that answer, right? Because we should have done something, should have said something, should have helped. We might have even felt that prompting from the Holy Spirit, you know, say something, help something, you know, whatever it is. And we decide it's not worth my time, or that person doesn't deserve it, or, oh, we've got a myriad of reasons for this. So we can sin through actions purposeful and by things we are not doing. But we've sinned. Now, we were born and created to be with God. So when that connection's broken, we're striving to come back to God. But we cannot do this by ourselves. We want to. I mean, and a lot of people really, even to this day, believe that, you know, when they die, they're going to stand in front of the pearly gates, and St. Peter, I don't know why it's always Peter, but it's Peter, is up there, and there's some kind of scale, right? And he puts all your bad things you've done on one side and all the good things on another, and if the good things just even slightly outweigh the bad things, you get into heaven. No, that's not how it works. We can't. Our sin has created a chasm between us and God. However, okay, so that's all the bad news, all right? But you can't have good news without bad news, amen? Makes no sense, all right? And I think most of us feel this. And maybe I could put it this way. There are times in my life I feel like I'm in the right place, doing the right thing, and I am exactly who God wants me to be. Other times. So, but God still loves us. My goodness, what a message that is in and of itself. Still loves us. Again, I think of the parental things, right? Most parents love their kids unconditionally forever, which sometimes is a blessing. Sometimes not so much, depending on how the kids act and how they grow up. Can be difficult to love your children, amen? But we do. We do, God help us, we do, and that's how God feels. And so God did something about it. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, down here on earth. And even that is such a remarkable thing. Imagine having all the powers, omnipotence, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all at the same time, and you have to put them into one of our bodies. Our bodies that age, amen? We get sick. Our feet get sore. We get tired. We have to deal with other people. And Jesus did that out of love, poured himself infinite into this finite body, easily broken, easily hurt. And then he preached and he taught and he healed to help people know who he is and what his message is of hope and love, redemption, forgiveness of sins. And then he died for us. And there are two parts to that always have to go together. He died for our sins, and then rose from the dead to defeat death. Those two things, can't separate them. You can't have Easter without Good Friday, nor can you have Good Friday without Easter. There's no celebration without the pain of Good Friday, because we put him on the cross, which he took to himself with gladness. And as he was on the cross and he thought about every one of us. It's a moment that transcends time, because he didn't just die for the people then, he died for all those who came before him and all who came after. When Easter comes, Good Friday comes, and you think of Christ up on the cross, he is looking at you, me, you know what I mean, right? In love. And that's why we can share what he did with us. dying for our sins, rising to defeat death so we can spend eternity in the place that we were always meant to be, with God in heaven. That's the good news. I don't think there's ever been a story like that, amen? And he did it for us. Shouldn't that change who we are and what we do? And so we come to church, hopefully, out of some sense of learning and wanting to know more. And then, by the way, we don't stay at church. You get 1 hour, that's it. Then we kick you out. Because where is the world? It's not in here, right? It's out there. This is important. Sometimes it gets lost. This is very important. And even the socializing before and after, that's important too. We are strengthening each other. We are helping each other. We are doing all of that. But when we come in here, it's about God and Christ through God and the work of the Holy Spirit as it blows through, hopefully, each and every church and each and every life. And that should make us want to go out with glee and joy to spread it. I've said this before about evangelism. Evangelism is really, really simple. And you can hear it in the hymn we just sang. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. That's it. That's the foundation. That's the basis. There are a lot of unhappy people out there, right? A lot of broken people. We live in a broken world. We live in a broken country. We live in a broken state. We live in a broken town. In the time I've been here, which is barely 2 years, we've had 2 shootings within a block of this church, one fatal. We live in a broken town, amen? A town that needs to hear this story, to know what it is that Christ did for us. It needs for us to pass it on. Now, the other way I use to describe this, and you've heard it before and you'll hear it again, is when we find a really good restaurant, a really good TV show, a really good YouTube video, we share it, don't we? And we never think, what if this offends them, right? Because it brought us something. No. When you find a great restaurant, you tell people. Why? Because you want them to eat there too, right? Why do you want them to eat there? Because you enjoyed their meal. When you saw a great TV show, my Sunday school class loves to talk about The Chosen, right? And they tell us. Why do they tell us? Why do they want us to watch it? Because it means something special to them. You see what I mean? That's evangelism. This thing that God did to me, that Christ saved me, that the Holy Spirit moved within me, transformed me, made me a better person. I want you to have that too. I want you to know that. I want you to feel it. I want you to be saved too. Not because I'm smarter or better or holier or less of a hypocrite than you are, but because I just want you to be saved too. We are passing on what Christ did for us on the cross, really. Because as Christ was up on that cross, he not only looked at each one of us, he looked at the people who have not yet found him, wanting them to find him. And that's our job. Done in myriad types of ways. It can be done with words. Definitely, always have to have the words. Come to church. Why? Because you'll find Christ. Can they find him outside of church? Yes, it's just a little easier in church, okay? But a famous quote I love, it was attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. I learned a little while ago that he didn't really say it, but I'm still going to attribute it to him. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Because we have lots of sayings about this, right? If I say something and do the opposite of it, then I am a hypocrite and you don't listen to me. Actions are when we put our words into a purpose, right? And when people see us. And there's another saying that's come up in the last 20 years or so. People don't want to... I should have thought about this. People don't know... You know what? Forget it. Okay, so anyone who ever wants to preach, sometimes you have to write some stuff down instead of just waiting for it to come to you on a Sunday morning. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. Now, that's not a big covers everything, but feed the hungry. Clothe the naked or the people in tatter. Help those who need help. Why? Because of what he's done for us. We come in here on a Sunday morning, and it's a fill-up for us. I've used an example. It's kind of, maybe not, it's kind of clunky. Church is a rudder's pit stop for a Christian. We stop, we get fueled up, then we head out. Does that work? Okay. I'll try another one some other time. But that's what this is for us to go out. And if you worry about what we need to say, we come back to what Isaiah said that gets repeated in the New Testament, that God loves us and will put a new covenant on our heart. I will write my laws on their hearts and in their minds, and they will know me. We know. And we know when we mess up, don't we? Even though we try to convince ourselves else, we know because the Holy Spirit wrote it on our hearts. And we can take that out, not in judgment, but to help others find Christ. We pass it on. Why do we pass it on? Because we want other people to feel this joy, this transformative experience that we have gone through. And so they can come to know and have their relationship healed with Christ too. I'm going to say something that might be a little startling. I don't really care what church you go to at a certain level. This is a great church to come to. But if you go to another church once you're saved, I'm okay with that too. Because it's about bringing people into a relationship. Amen? Letting them know what we have. And not holding it inside. And not only, you know, putting it in a box once we leave here, and then unpacking it every Sunday morning for an hour, and then packing it back up. It's about going out, passing on this amazing love, this amazing grace that was given to us, that took us from what we were and made us into something that God wanted us to be. That's who we are. It's what we should be doing, is going out and passing it on. Amen. I ask you now to stand and sing our closing hymn, and to remind you that the writer of Amazing Grace was a captain of slave boats. And so when he says, "Saved a wretch like me," he meant it. And if you need any kind of comparison, you know, well, if God only knew what I did, he wouldn't be able to save me. He saved a slave trader, okay? Amazing Grace.
Grace that taught my heart.
Please receive this morning's benediction. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said here with our lips, we will believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we will go out and live out each and every day of our lives. And we pray all this through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of God's children say, Amen.